Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Michelin Wiper Blades.
Hey, look, it's today's opening tip. Jimmy Butler losing his shoe, still converted, and won. I mean, it looks a little dangerous, though, right?
Jimmy's a great athlete. He can get 20 on them with no shoes.
With no shoes. Wait, this is the crazy thing, is that he slips and then uses it to plant. Watch
right.
This. He plant. Man, right. That could have been bad. Good for him.
There you go. A lot of shoes coming off in the NBA the last couple days. Lace up, children. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. Today we have 2016 NBA champion Richard Jefferson, 2008 champion Paul Pierce. He was a finals MVP, though, so what do you got?
He's far better than me.
I'm just saying.
Far, far better than me.
Just saying. Yeah. Coming up, we have Richard's college teammate, Gilbert Arenas, going to stop by. He's going to give Richard a hard time, too, so that's going to be nice. He's also going to play the game he was born for, thank you. What were you thinking on The Jump with Gilbert Arenas? Stay tuned for that. First, though, so the Knicks are in Dallas tonight to play the Mavericks, which means, yep, we're getting Kristaps Porzingis' first game against his old team. Calling this a revenge game isn't quite right. I mean, what would KP really be seeking revenge for? For New York trading him to an organization that's been stable enough to keep the same coach for 12 seasons and has teamed Porzingis up with a player projected to be one of the great talents of his generation? Nah, Porzingis isn't mad, bro. Knicks fans, on the other hand, yeah. There has been some well-documented frustration
there.
And I'm not sure watching Porzingis play tonight is going to help them settle their feelings one way or the other, frankly. KP has largely been what we expected so far this season, right? With the ups and downs of a talented player coming off a 20-month layoff. Even once he settles, there's a lot about him we can't know for a long time. How injury-prone is the rest of his career going to be? Will the sexual assault accusation that's followed him from New York to Dallas turn into charges being filed? We don't know that either. Still, the potential upside for the Mavericks is huge. KP and Luka Doncic, that duo could be the backbone of that team for the next 10 years, poised to take over the West after the current crop of superstars age out of their primes. Mark Cuban keeps saying he sees Porzingis and Doncic as the next Dirk and Steve Nash. And hey, remember how the Mavericks got Nowitzki in the first place? They traded the Bucks Robert Traylor for him in what would become one of the more lopsided deals in NBA history. Now, will the Porzingis trade go down as much of the same? The Knicks coach, David Fizdale, stressed yesterday, you can't judge this one yet. We don't know what Dennis Smith Jr. is going to turn into, he said.
I do.
We don't know who the Knicks will draft with the two first-round picks that were also part of the deal.
I do.
And that's true. Although one of those assets may have to turn into, I don't know, as good a player as Porzingis for things to feel more balanced. It certainly feels like the whole, but we cleared cap room thing did not pan out for the Knicks. First, I don't know if front office gets extra credit for clearing bad contracts it negotiated in the first place. And second, well, the superstars that the Knicks cleared cap room for didn't end up coming this past summer. There is the issue, though, of whether Porzingis even still wanted to be in New York. The Knicks will tell you they had to make that trade. And the New York Post's Mark Berman just wrote a very detailed story on the roots of how the marriage between KP and the Knicks went wrong. Berman reports that Phil Jackson actually tried to trade KP multiple times, once after Porzingis' rookie year and again in 2017. Now, we don't know if that's what started to sour Porzingis on the team. We do know Jackson publicly trashing Carmelo Anthony upset him, as did the team firing his favorite assistant coach at the same time they declined to hire his personal athletic trainer, the way many other teams do for their stars. We know that once Porzingis tore his ACL, he became even more separated from the team. Reports started leaking out about KP's, quote, diva behavior. It didn't help that the Knicks cycled through four different coaches in KP's three-plus years there, giving him little reason to feel anyone telling him what to do would be around that long anyway. All of that led to the infamous meeting between the sides this past January, where Porzingis' brother reportedly asked for a trade. And hours later, the Knicks, who had already been shopping him yet again and had the framework of their deal with the Mavericks already in place, pulled the trigger. Fast forward to tonight, where all Knicks fans can do is watch KP play in another jersey and wonder what might have been. I guess it's kind of like Instagram stalking your ex, except it's in person with the whole NBA watching. Maybe that's its own revenge after all. Paul, how do you think Knicks fans should feel about this trade?
If I'm a Knicks fan, I will feel devastated because you only can win when you have that superstar, that unicorn guy, you know, that generational talent. And Porzingis is a generational talent. And when you lose something like that, a seven-footer with the skill level, the shooting ability, something you can build around, have hope for the future, it just sets the Knicks back, I think, another 10 years.
Wow.
Because you miss out on all these free agents year after year. You remember they missed out on LeBron free agency. Yep. They missed out on this last free agent this past summer. And then you get this talent. This is what you have to build through. And then when you lose that or trade that away, it's just like, wow, what's next for Knicks fans?
Honestly, the Knicks fans should not be surprised. They should be... This is what they should expect from their franchise. Like, top to bottom, all the different things, all the different coaches. Like, this is just, it is what it is. And it's unfortunate that the Knicks fans, well, not that unfortunate, but they have to deal with this. I think Porzingis is going to be a great player. Obviously, there's some health things, and they want to make sure he's going to be healthy. But for the Mavericks, this was a win-win. I really don't think the Mavericks risked anything. Even if he didn't work out, you still have one of the great players that could be of this generation.
You can take more of a risk if you've got Luka already.
Yes. I think for the Knicks, they should have tried to keep him at all costs, unless they got a superstar in return, unless they got a guaranteed top five pick in return. They didn't get any of those things. Right, Dennis Smith Jr.? Very talented player, but he's not even going to be close to either of those guys. And right. So I just think that they missed out, and it is what it is.
Continue to miss.
Continue to miss.
Look, to Fizdale's point, we don't know what those two draft picks are going to turn into. But if those two draft picks, even if one of them turns out to be a Kristaps Porzingis-level player, the timeline is going to be several years back from what it would have been with Porzingis. I always thought going into this summer's free agency, Porzingis might be a draw for a big-time free agent.
Someone might
think
that. But
then he got hurt, right? So once he got hurt, I don't know how much some guy would have wanted to come play this summer not knowing what he was going to come back as. I don't know.
They would have known that he was going to be back to start of the season.
Right.
Right? The start of the season. So anybody coming in would have known. Like, understand, like, Kyrie and KD. Kyrie still went to Brooklyn knowing that KD wasn't going to play for him a full year.
I'm not putting Porzingis in the Kevin Durant category. But, yes, I know what you mean.
He's not Kevin Durant, but he is in that same mold of very unique player that people want to see and want to play with.
Yeah. I mean, look, he is a player that was the unicorn. We talk about all these unicorns in the NBA. Yeah. Kevin Durant coined that nickname for Kristaps Porzingis. That is where that came from. He is a rare kind of player. And again, we'll find out how he ends up going. We already know how the cap space thing went because, yes, they will have more cap space again in 2021.
They have cap space forever.
They signed short-term deals. But except for Porzingis himself, all the cap space they cleared would have been up by then anyway. So that really becomes a wash.
Irrelevant.
It's just sort of who are the players.
It's irrelevant here.
That they have. It's going to be
interesting.
It's
going to have somebody that doesn't like the Knicks the way I do.
I was going to say. You guys are turning me into a Knicks defender, which the internet will tell you does not happen very often.
Why would you ever defend that?
For the Mavs, let's talk about the Mavericks. They're hovering near the top of the West standings at 5-2 right now. They have, again, a very promising duo of Porzingis and Luka Doncic. Richard, are the Mavs looking like a playoff team this season? Is the train going to arrive early?
Yes, I think so. And it really, again, if both of these guys can play 75 games or more, that means that they're primarily healthy on this season. Then I think one of them can carry them. If both of them are playing well, they're going to win. One of them can carry their team to win. And their bench has shown early on, and they just got J.J. Barrera back. If their bench can sustain how they've been playing, then I think they 7-8, they can make the postseason.
Absolutely. If Porzingis is healthy, you know, he could be a borderline all-star. And what more can I say about Luka Doncic?
Man,
I mean, he's not only playing at all-star level, he's playing at MVP candidate level.
Yeah.
And so, will they make the playoffs? Absolutely, as long as they're healthy, without a doubt.
Certainly, Golden State falling out of the playoff race is going to help them. Sacramento, which we thought would be knocking on that door for that 7th or 8th spot. It's a long season, but has not looked like that so far. The Pelicans, we thought would be knocking on the door maybe potentially for that 8th spot. We don't know when Zion's going to come back and sort of where they're going to shake out. So,
and every team that you just said, neither of those teams have a superstar or two superstars like the Dallas Mavericks do. So I wouldn't bet against them.
It's going to be an interesting night tonight in Dallas. All right, coming up, after the Clippers received a $50,000 fine for Doc Rivers' comments about Kawhi Leonard, are they handling the load management situation correctly? We will discuss all that.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or make.
It's a make or miss league.
Jimmy, you've made it very plain. We all should know by now.
He is
not having any of these video bombs. Not having it. Is it any more savory?
Go to the locker room, man. Go to the locker room. Great game. Go to the lock, please. Baby, we got another one tomorrow.
What is it that you don't enjoy about the video bombs?
Huh? It's not about them right now. It's about me.
Very good.
Jimmy not having it with the video bombs. I don't know if Chris Bosh needs to have a word with him because that's how that team rolled for a long time.
That's how they roll in Miami. He's like, they steal my shine.
He says it's not about them. It's about me right now. I need some one-on-one FaceTime.
I believe that that was a joke, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, he told a lot of them to get out of there.
Hey, he's not playing. He needed shine.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Okay.
Missed contact. Staying in Miami. Sun's out and running. Jimmy gets called for a phantom foul. It was reviewed and the call stood. Take a look at this. Yeah.
That's a face foul, Jimmy. Looked like he hit him with his face.
Oh, right? I love when the coach's
flashing.
Challenge goes. Watch this.
Let me see. Oh, no.
Was there any contact?
Yeah, I need a different angle.
Let's see.
There you go.
Wow.
So the foul
and they reviewed it. And
it's still not worse than the Doc one. It's still not worse than the Doc one.
It's not as bad as the coach's challenge gone wrong the other day.
Wait to see if he got his legs. Maybe he hit his legs. He hit his legs. That's what they're saying below, underneath.
Okay, there you go.
Yep.
No, you don't know.
No, the frame
doesn't even show his legs.
Desperation,
Thunder Spurs. DeJounte Murray hits the deck, but then somehow flips the shot up and in.
That kid is talented.
Yeah. It's good to have him back.
It's good. I'm glad he's bouncing back this year.
That whole backcourt's fun.
Oh, I got a few of those.
Speaking of circus shots.
I was old right there. I had to make circus shots because I couldn't jump over.
I asked these guys during the break.
We couldn't jump no more.
Jump, so we had to maneuver shots.
Yeah, look at that. I've never used that type of English on a backboard in my life.
Right, but you had to do that. I asked the guys during the break when they felt like they exited their prime, and Richard said 28.
That's the truth. That's
there you go. I like these. Man. I like y'all doing these. This is good. But Murray, I gotta give him credit.
I like
nice.
It.
I like it.
Nice. Miss experience. Blazers lost to the Clippers. But 20-year-old Anthony look at me. I just went boom.
Happens.
It's just like come right off the tongue. Simmons had a great fourth quarter. Simons. He dropped. Ooh. I'm going to call him Hardaway. He dropped 16 of his 17 in the final frame. He ain't no penny. But how do you like his game?
I like his game. Anybody that can give Portland a burst, they haven't had that burst. They tried it with Evan Turner. They tried it with Rodney Hood. Anyone that can give them that type of burst and this type of bounce. Okay. He's going to be all right.
Yep.
He's going to be all right.
Look at that.
I mean, they got enough guards, though. You got Lillard there.
The front court.
A little bit more, man.
Hurting.
I mean, they don't need it from that position, but this kid is talented.
Yep. Yeah, no question. All right, Miss Emotion. Kemba Walker honored with a 90-second tribute video before playing his first game in Charlotte as an opposing player. This put me in my feelings a little bit, Paul. I got to tell you.
He deserves a tribute video. I'm tired of guys who get traded and played for a team for 2 years, come back and get a tribute. Come on. Now, this is when you deserve
a tribute. I've seen one-season tribute videos. It's awful.
What's wrong with people being nice?
Where did it even start?
That's not real. Kemba Walker deserves one. He's an all-time leading scorer.
He wasted prime years out there, of course, of blood, sweat, and tears.
Necessarily.
So they'd have to they probably owe him a couple more dollars.
Yeah.
Well.
And they didn't want to pay him.
That was the thing that they should have probably given him.
But he deserves it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm with
you. Yes. Well, look, don't you tell your children, Paul, it's nice to just say thank you.
Yeah, well, they can call them on the phone, hit them on Instagram.
Yeah, there's too many. Put it on their social media.
There's too much movement
for a tribute video every night.
Every person.
This one was deserved.
Yes.
Well deserved.
Right, there we go. Let's switch gears now to the Clippers. The league agreeing that Kawhi Leonard was indeed hurt and that the team was in compliance with injury management rules. That was on Wednesday when he sat out against the Bucks. But on Wednesday, when Doc Rivers was asked about Kawhi's health after the game, actually he was asked before the game too, he said Kawhi was just fine. He just needed rest. The NBA on Thursday, they didn't like that answer. They fined the Clippers $50,000 for those comments because, in their words, they were inconsistent with Leonard's health status. Kawhi spoke after the game. Here is what he said. He said it was shocking. Shocking because in the league's fine of Doc Rivers, it was very specific about it being a patella tendon injury. He says it was shocking to him that they revealed that. He said, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm not a guy that reads the media anyway. We're going to manage it the best way we can to keep me healthy. That's the most important thing, me being healthy going forward. So how do you guys feel about the way the Clippers handled it? Because there's controversy when they call it load management. The league comes out and says, he's injured. We're okay with it being load management. the Clippers are like, no, actually, he's healthy. He's fine. And they're like, well, don't make us look bad now. And we're going to fine you $50,000. How do we feel?
Well, I just think that ultimately the Clippers made a mistake, right? This is the mistake. If you're saying he's healthy, unhealthy, that we just want to manage him so something doesn't flare up, but we're still trying to manage it. But then you come out later and say, oh, no, he's fine. That's where it's like all of a sudden ESPN, TNT, fans, all these people, it starts this storm. We saw him hobbled in the postseason, so it's not a surprise that they want to kind of manage his load again. But then say that. Like, say, look, he's still dealing with some stuff. We're going to sit him out back-to-backs, and that would be the end of it. But the minute Doc Rivers tries to be like, oh, no, 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 he's fine. He's 100% healthy, that's when the issues start.
Easy. I mean, it's the way you word it. I mean, we know about his injury history over the last couple of years, and Toronto managed it great. And the league was fine with it. But, Doc, it's the way Doc has to go about it.
Don't you think there's some pressure on the Clippers, too, that if Kawhi doesn't want that stuff revealed, which it seems like from his comments he didn't, and no player likes to be sort of called out injured if they feel that they're healthy and they're just managing sort of what could be a chronic kind of situation. Doc's got to kind of play to that, too. It's his guy in his locker room.
The surprising thing is Doc is the best at this.
Well, that's what I mean.
You know?
Like, I'm not sure it was an accident what happened with Doc. Like, is it the kind of thing where he was sort of like, hey, this is what I have to say to sort of keep the team situation and player happy, and if we take the hit, we take the hit. I don't know.
Well, he knows Ballmer has big pockets, so he doesn't mind.
Yeah, it's like cutting a penny in half and throwing it out the window. They don't care. Do you remember the graphic that we put up of how valuable these teams are?
Yeah.
This is one of the richest men in the world. $50,000, like, that's nothing to Paul.
Right.
That's nothing to Paul. That's nothing to Paul.
That's nothing to this guy.
That's Paul.
It will be interesting. Obviously, this will continue throughout the year. There's another ESPN game the Clippers are on next week, so we'll find out what happens there. Coming up, Gordon Hayward had himself another solid game versus the Hornets last night as he returned to all-star form. We will discuss after this. Your weekend begins tonight with our NBA Friday matchup in the district. Kevin Love and the Cavs facing Bradley Beal and the Wizards on ESPN and on the app. Welcome back to The Jump. So the Cavs still firmly in rebuild mold after the departure of their big superstar. You know I'm talking about you, Richard.
Yeah,
right?
Obviously.
Clearly.
Obviously. Of course.
I mean,
obviously.
Also LeBron, but whatever. They do still have your guy, though, Kevin Love. He is averaging 19 points, 14 boards through 7 games. Now, mind you, Love signed a 4-year extension last summer, so he is under contract for about $30 million a year through 2023.
That's a bargain.
Which means he's buying dinner the next time you guys go out.
Every time.
How attractive of a trade trip would you say that Kevin is?
Well, I think it depends on the team, right? I don't think he's one of those stars that, like Bradley Beal, let's say, where you just drop him and he's that guy for your team or one of many. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the guys that Kevin Love, depending on what your need is, what you're searching for, I think he can complement other players. I just think that he is going to be a trade piece for someone. You just don't know who and where, but he can't fit everywhere.
No, absolutely right. But I think for that teams that needs to get over the hump that says we have championship aspirations, when you look down the line, mm-hmm. for me, one that comes to mind is Houston. Mm. You know, right now they're struggling. They're near the bottom near the eighth spot. If you add a Kevin Love to Westbrook and Harden, you can say, hey, they may be the ongoing favorites in the West. Who knows? I don't know, but that's an attractive piece because he doesn't fit in Cleveland.
Right. Well, I mean, he fits.
Oh, look at Little Rich. There's an age gap. They're trying to develop
I was going to say, it's less about fit there, just about like what they're doing.
Houston and Daryl Morey is the type of a GM that'll pull the trigger on that. If you can get a Capella
I was going to say, Capella was on the market at one point last year. There are some questions about whether he would be on the market again. There's been some questions about Portland. But look at that, because they certainly need front court help. But look at the contract. And when you kind of look at where he is over these next 4 years, and in Portland, you've got Dame Lillard under that big contract. Mm-hmm. You've got CJ McCollum already under that big contract. How much are you handicapping yourself if you trade for a guy like Kevin Love? Not so much luxury tax. Jody Allen has shown, just like her brother Paul, she's willing to pay the luxury tax. It is more about you get capped, and there's only so much depth you can add if you have three big stars. There's also the health issue with Kevin. You talk to him all the time. Where would you say his health is? Because there's been injury issues every season, basically, for the last few years.
There has, but sometimes when you're on a team and your team is struggling to start off, your injuries take a little bit longer to heal. Golden State.
What are you
saying? And so it's just
Jefferson?
Like, you know, I'm just saying injuries take a little bit longer. So I think, like, if he was in a playoff mode or a playoff contention, like last season, I think he probably would have came back a little bit sooner. Golden State. And so it's like when you look at these things that happen over time, I think Kevin Love is healthy. He's ready to go. He's playing good basketball. He's in a great mental place too, right? He understands that their team's rebuilding, so he's just going out there.
A great mental place.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm making money, getting numbers, I'm good. But injuries, I wouldn't say you could look at his injury history the past like year or so and say, he probably could have come back a little bit sooner if they were in a playoff.
Are you saying that in this league, teams keep players out for a little longer than they'd have to for injury to improve their draft position?
Yes.
No, not in this league. No, never.
Never. Didn't hear that. Let's talk about Gordon Hayward, because talk about a guy who's coming back from injury. And it took almost a little while last season for him to find his footing, but he's got it now. He had 20, 10, and 6 in the Celtics' win in Charlotte last night. He's been playing great the past couple weeks, guys. Boston has the best record in the NBA. Hayward is putting up his best numbers since his All-Star campaign in Utah in 2017. Paul, do you feel like Gordon has returned to All-Star form?
Absolutely. He was the one question mark for me coming into the season on where to really place the Celtics. Because when you looked at the East, you said Milwaukee, Philly, okay. Celtics were somewhere around that, but are they really a contender with these other guys? And not knowing what Gordon Hayward would bring, I knew Tatum had an opportunity to step up. You know, you got Kemba there, but if he's going to play at All-Star form and he's going to continue to be this consistent, you got to put the Celtics in contending mode in the Eastern Conference. You have to. If he's playing that well, you got Tatum playing well, you got Kemba Walker.
Piece to be in the Eastern Conference Finals?
And look how they've been playing. They're 6-1. Jaylen Brown hasn't been playing, which is another key. Enes Kanter's been in and out. So I think they have all the pieces in the Eastern Conference. Maybe they can get a little more depth. But I think the key to them right now is with Marcus Smart, add him to the starting lineup, and then that defined Gordon Hayward's role instead of Jaylen Brown. Now he can just play his game.
And one thing people need to understand about Gordon Hayward before he got injured, he is one of the five best, listen to me, one of the five best two-way players in the NBA. He defends. He's bigger than you think. He's 6'8", 225 pounds. Like, he's a big dude, and he runs the floor. He can create through a system. He can create for his own. He's unselfish. That's part of the reason why he wanted to go play for Brad Stevens, to play in that type of college system where everyone feeds. He comes from Utah, the similar system there. So when I look at him, and if he's playing at a high level, that means he's a very, very good basketball player, one of the best in this league. I put him in the top 25 range, but really he's one of the five best.
No, he's not one of the five best.
Two-way.
I'd name five right now.
Tell me five. Okay, if he's
Kawhi
playing
Leonard,
this level, yes, Paul George.
Did you say 25
yes. Giannis, I said he's one of the top 25 players in this league if he's playing at this level, but he's one of the five best two-way players.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
You got Joel Embiid. He's
okay,
two-way.
Yes.
Defensive player of the year candidate.
And then I got Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
I mean, but Gordon's up there.
That's what I'm saying. So if he's five or seven, all I'm saying is that people need to notice that he's not just a scorer, that he's not just a
LeBron
premier player.
James.
He is LeBron in another time. I'm just saying he's one of the best two-way players. Like, he can defend and stop a guy and score 20 points on the other end. There's not many
Anthony
guys.
Davis.
Again, I think he's one of the top five. Perimeter. Let's say top five perimeter. How about perimeter?
I got you.
We'll get rid of Embiid.
The top 25, and then everyone would have been like, absolutely.
No, I love Jordan.
Why not? Paul's here. I'll argue with him.
Coming up, get ready, because we have Agent Zero in studio. No. I have rarely been this excited.
How would Gilbert Arenas be in today's league?
Oh,
my goodness.
He'd probably still be where he's at right now. Talking to us.
You're going to get a lot of that in the next few segments. First, though, here's what the Jump recommends for today. Zach Lowe's 10 NBA things I like and don't like, including how Devin Booker is playing the best basketball of his career. Check that on ESPN.com. Gilbert Arenas is walking into the studio as we speak, people, so keep your televisions turned. SportsCenter, 6 o'clock Eastern with Sage and Kevin, tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app, right after PTI. Let's get to it, because we know him by so many names. Agent Zero, Hibachi. He's a three-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA. The man once dropped 60 points in a game, 11 years in the league. Gilbert Arenas is here in studio.
No chill, what up?
What's happening? I see someone who's not happy.
Well, I mean, look, I was going to say you and Richard were teammates at Arizona for two seasons, and I don't think he's recovered from it, really, is what's going on.
It's kind of like how I just got here.
Mm-hmm.
He had to move.
Yeah, he did.
I get his water.
Right?
I mean, it's just one of those things that he loses all of him to me.
I've never liked this man in my life. There's nothing.
What was Richard like as a teammate? What can you tell us about our coworker here?
He was the worst. He was the worst. He was sarcastic. But if you had the fire, he pushed it out of you. He knew how to, you know, push your buttons.
Yes.
That I would say, Paul, you said that you experienced that here, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a great combination. That's why they went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
No, we went to the Final Four because of me.
Oh, my God.
We lost in the Final Four because of him. He's the reason why we might have got there.
Like, what happened?
But he's the reason why we lost.
Richard being a lottery pick.
Yes, most people do. Gilbert was a second-round pick.
Second rounder.
You know, that's what happens when you don't have a position. See, look at that. Terrible pass. I made him look good. Look at that.
Look. He can always shoot, though.
Kind of.
Wait, did you say we lost because of me?
Yes.
No. I thought it was because Dunleavy hit you for 21.
No. It's because you scored. You were 4 for 14. That's why we lost. Who was guarding you?
Dunleavy, 21, and he scored 21 up until then. So he doubled his input.
But you were nice and supportive when Richard got drafted.
No, he wasn't.
He was like, wait,
he didn't even shake his hand.
No, he didn't even. He
didn't even come to the draft.
No. Well, you don't care.
I was the number one player. He was like third or fourth option. Yes, he was athletic, but that shouldn't get you drafted 13th, 14th.
This is the thing. Gilbert has court-ordered therapy, everybody. So this right here is like kind of him getting out all of those demons that he has.
You can do that on television.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We want to talk about your NBA. I could actually do this all day, Richard, frankly. That's why I brought
Makes
you
one
up
of
here.
Us.
I'm still going to drink the water because it was yours.
Oh, no. What is going on?
Only because it was his, you know. And that's...
There's so many things. Now, I covered you, Gil, in D.C. It was not the most functional team. I'm just going to just put it out there with the Wizards. And I was interested because a teammate of yours, briefly, you guys overlapped for part of a season. Trevor Booker was on the Hoops Height podcast with the excellent Alex Kennedy recently. And take a listen to this.
Those guys didn't care at all. You know, I would come into the locker room the day of a game and watch, you know, one player cut up a suit of another player. You know, one guy took a in another guy's shoe. Oh my goodness. I have stories for days. We would go on the road, we would break into each other's room and beat a player up, tie him up. It was so many stories I got from those Washington days. It was so much fun, but looking back on it, oh my goodness. It was so unprofessional.
Who was the leader of that team?
The leader?
Who was the...
No. I was already on the way out. I was mentally already gone, buddy.
Oh, man.
I was out of that. You got to put that on Antoine and Karan there.
And he's throwing other people under the bus.
No, that was their team. I was out.
I was a prank KV team, though, right?
No, we have... You said it. The most fun he's ever had as a professional.
Because it was unprofessional.
Not because it was that group.
No wonder they couldn't win.
It was that group. It was older, and then all the young kids came in. So it was like a frat house.
Well, yeah. There was a lot of pranks, and then, you know, pranks went too far, right? And then, yeah.
Not that year. I was in Orlando.
Yes.
Most of that year. So
okay. Yeah.
There you go. Look, you were a perennial playoff team most of the time that you were in D.C. Mm-hmm. At your peak, certainly. I mean, look, I could play highlights from that stretch of your career all day. And the way players respect you and your game around the league, Paul. I mean,
absolutely.
Richard notwithstanding, but
zero respect.
you can make the point to the youngsters out there how other players felt about
him. He would be one of the all-time greats. I truly believe that.
I made a comparison, and I hate to even say this to his face, but for all the younger players I don't know, imagine combining John Wall and Dame Lillard. Right, you could shoot from anywhere like Dame Lillard, but you also had the speed and the quickness to attack downhill and finish like John Wall. That was a kind of a mean combination. Sad it went to waste.
Sad part is I will compare him to somebody.
Don't.
You just can't.
We've already learned Richard. That. There was the incident where you suspended right for much of the 2010 season, and you have said it wasn't because you brought guns into the locker room. It was because of the way you handled things after that.
Yes. With any rule, you have to be guilty. You have to be found guilty before they can suspend you.
Yeah.
But knowing me, I'm going to act the way I act. So I wasn't going to let up because you're saying I did this, mm-hmm. so I'm going to make fun of you. So they suspended me for
that picture. That picture right there.
Yeah. So it was. Yeah. So I got suspended.
That has nothing to do with the guns, though.
No, I got suspended.
It was the pointed of the fingers.
I got suspended 50 games for detrimental to the team because they can hold that suspension as long as they want.
And ladies and gentlemen, and still a record to this day. Still a record.
because the gun suspension would have been 1 or 3 to 5 games. So the
what can we find that will be more? Basically, do you have regrets about how you handled all of that? Do you have regrets about bringing the guns in the first place? Do you have regrets about any
just
of the other stuff that happened with
just
it?
Just lie and say yes. just lie and say yes.
But I can't do that.
He has no regrets.
The only thing, I'm going to be honest. The only thing I regret is actually being guilty of claiming them.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, so, okay.
So being honest, I regret being honest.
Okay, that's fair.
There you go. Do you have regrets about the way you handled your injury at the end of that stretch, too? Because that was all wrapped up together.
Yeah. Watching Kawhi, take his time and watching players take their time. Then, we think we're Superman. You know, so at 25, it's like, this crew is going to catch me if I, if I'm hurt. So I decided, you know what? This is really not that important. So I just kept, working out like I normally did.
Do you wish load management had existed when you were in the league? Because I asked Richard that yesterday, and we asked Tracy McGrady that, and Max said he wishes it was more of a thing. He thinks his career would have extended.
Same thing. I think as athletes, we play hurt to prove we're actually hurt, mm-hmm. instead of just getting healthy and going out to perform. And so, I wish that contract and money wasn't important to, team and ticket sales. So it's like we're planning for the future, not just hurry up and get out there. You don't look that hurt. 60% of you is better than 100% of somebody like Richard.
I hear people laughing. Stop laughing out there.
Our era, trainers and coaches and management would put pressure on you when you were hurt. It was like, when is he going to be ready? What's wrong with him today? Why is he not out there? Can he practice? So it's always constantly talking when we're in our era, where now they're like more receptive to guys, let's make sure he's ready. The investment is a lot heavier now when you're paying Kawhi $30 million and you're paying Gil like 12-15. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's still a lot of money, but when you're paying a guy pretty much half the team's salary, it's like we want him healthy.
Yeah. Right. And look, and that it depends kind of where your era is and what your thinking is. James Harden plays in this era, but just today he was being asked about load management. His quote to reporters was, "Even if I'm a little bit banged up, I try to push through to a certain extent. Have you ever seen me not play because of load management?" He said. I don't know. Do you feel that Harden, people have said that Harden should have taken a few more games off when he was sort of really pushing for the MVP because he'd be fresher in the playoffs. I don't know where you're at that one either.
If you're injured, then yes, take some time to get healthy. But if you're just fatigued and a little banged up, no, I wouldn't have sat out for that.
Yeah.
I personally believe that you made the right decision.
Oh, yeah, because
you played through all this stuff. But look, most minutes played in a single season. That's actually pretty impressive. And look at the eight. Look at the years. 07, 05, 05, 07. Literally, that's right.
Guys didn't sit out.
Guys didn't sit out. That's right before guys started understanding. And then there was 9 people on the medical staff. There was, medical science. That's before all of this, furthering of medicine and sports kind of came into play. So some guys are still playing like Bron, and some people are sitting here
like us. Yeah. I know you wanted to poke at me a little bit, but us. We're here.
There you go. We're not letting Gilbert leave, because why would we break this up? We really could watch this all day. This is the second time this week Paul and I have gotten to see the Gilbert Arenas Richard Jefferson show, and it never disappoints. Mm. We can't have Gil here, though, without playing a little What Were You Thinking? So there is a lot of material. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have a lot of fun with him there. Tonight on ESPN and the app, we'll have the 8th annual Armed Forces Classic that honors America's heroes. Washington takes a number 16 Baylor at Alaska Airlines Arena in Anchorage. This game is going to be so fun. 9:30 Eastern, 4:30 in Alaska. Check it out. Welcome back to The Jump. I am joined by Paul Pierce, Richard Jefferson, And Gilbert Arenas is here. I got to say, I introduced you at the ComplexCon panel, and I said, this is one of the most notorious and smartest players I have ever covered. And I would say that...
One of those is right.
Just in the last segment, proved both of those. Accurate. Let's test you on our League Pass game of the night, 76ers at Nuggets. This will feature a battle of elite big men. So, Gil, who would you rather have on your team, Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic?
I'll take the lazy Embiid.
The what?
Lazy Embiid. Even though he's lazy, he's still
why?
Giving
why?
You 28 and 13.
Why would you say that he's lazy?
He lost 20 pounds this offseason.
I know, but I mean, the way he plays, he's just...
So what about Jokic?
If you got 20 pounds to lose, that lets you know. That lets you know something.
You know what? I'm going with Embiid, too, because I thought Joker should have came back a little bit in better shape. I think he came back... You know, not as good as shit. After having a year he had, it was like.
But he's got one of those like Tim Duncan bodies where definition.
Yeah, but he could have like.
The old Kevin Love body.
The old Kevin Love body. The Kevin Love college body.
Yeah, but he could have dropped some more weight. You know, his whole thing was his defense. And that's why I'm giving Embiid the edge over him, just both because he plays both sides of the ball. He's one of the smartest players and best passers in the league, but it's just, I feel like he came back not a better player.
He came back admittedly heavier, right? And yes, the passing wasn't as crisp as we know he can do and is used to. He looked a little better in their last game. I mean, I voted for Embiid for All-NBA ahead of Jokic. It didn't turn out that way. More people voted for Jokic. I think Embiid is a force on both sides of the ball, and I think he's come back sort of with adding a few pieces this year. But we're going to have to see. I mean, Paul, you keep saying who's going to be there at the end of games in the playoffs for the Sixers. Embiid says it's going to be him. Yeah, he's got
to
prove it.
He's got a chance to be MVP.
I mean, when you average 28 and 13 and you had Jimmy Butler on your team averaging 20-something and you had Ben Simmons being dominant too, that just shows you how dominant he is. With other dominant players.
He's got to stay healthy. That's my biggest thing with him. Is like, if Embiid is healthy, yes, he's one of the best players in the league, period. But I think Jokic and the way he approaches it, if he's in shape, which he wasn't to start the season, but he did play international basketball. So, you know, you start to give yourself a little time off. So he's probably not going to start the season as strong as he should.
Yeah, look, Embiid obviously has a very well documented, had to sit out first couple seasons, health issues. Last year, he tried to prove to everyone, I don't have any injury problems. I'm going to play all the time. I'm not going to sit when they want me to sit. I'm going to play. He was leading the league in minutes at one point last year, I believe, like all the stuff. And obviously it burned him out by the end of the season. He had injury problems back 20 games of the season into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He said that he's learned he's going to play his regular season a little
bit differently. Load management.
Has not used that word, but we will see. The words I'm going to use now, I really felt, Gil, you were born to play. This is a game that we play on the jump all the time. It is called What Were You Thinking Now with Gilbert Arenas. First up, Gil, this is a moment. PJ Tucker just called this out in a Sports Illustrated interview a couple weeks ago, saying that you rocked Dolce & Gabbana shoes against the Lakers in 2010. You had 23 points in that game. He said that that's the most baller move he's ever seen. So, Gil, what were you thinking?
I didn't have a shoe contract at that moment, so I was testing out different shoes, and Nick Young came to the locker room with the Dolce & Gabbanas on, and it matched the jersey. So I just put them on.
Those were your shoes?
No, they were Nick's.
You made him give you his shoes?
I just took the shoes, put them on, and just played.
Wait, did he know?
No, until we went out and shoot around.
You are kidding.
No.
In 2007, you crossed up Kobe twice in one game. Gil, what were you thinking? In this moment, play the radio.
And one. Hey, okay. You got some pretty impressive highlights on Kobe. You gave him 60.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing I think when anyone guards me.
Which is?
It's not going to go well for you. You know, it's...
What does it feel like, again, Hibachi, what does it feel like when you are heating up?
Kobe's like, wow.
I trained so much, and I looked at, you know, how players play defense, so I knew he couldn't move left to right, but I knew I couldn't do the same move twice. So the first one to be left to right, the second one to be right to left. Knowing that if I did try the same thing, he would snatch it, so I had to play different types of games.
Could you imagine if you used all of your powers for good?
Right, not just evil.
Could you imagine? Like that's the issue, because like again, I will stand by this. Gilbert to me is the best player to ever come out of Arizona. Right?
I am the best player.
Just shut up. He was the best player to come out of Arizona, but because of his work ethic and because of his approach to the game, the way he improved his game over the first 4 or 5 years of his career is probably as good as anybody I've seen.
And then
one comment. And then
see, you know me, I'm selfish, so I'm going to take his compliment and I'm not going to give him one back.
I don't want a compliment.
Again, I've been around the two of you
before.
Next up, in 2007, what were you thinking, Gilbert Arenas, when you celebrated this game-winning shot before it went in versus the Jets? Here we go. Okay.
Let's show the replay.
Wait, this angle. There we go.
He was still looking.
He was still looking.
He's okay.
I mean, look.
It still had two feet to go.
We see Steph. He knows what's going on.
I had Karolinko and Brewer guarding me the whole game, and I lit them up for 48. So you have Darren Williams on me, and there was really nothing. It was just one of those things.
How do you know the stats from 12 years ago?
Oh, he's crazy.
I'm telling you, I have not been around a person like
one of the most.
How much did you average on all my Celtics teams?
I don't know. I know I had 7 the first game of that year, and then I hit you for 44.
That's probably true.
Cleveland, gave you 44.
We couldn't guard him. What were you thinking when you pulled off this trampoline dump at the 2007 All-Star game?
What were you doing?
Oh, my goodness.
Listen. They wasn't really performing at their best.
People think that people who didn't see this dunk contest might think, he did this in the dunk contest. Oh, no, this is
All-Star.
When like the halftime performers were like doing stuff.
Yeah, because they were missing dunks, so everyone was like,
he's lying. Basically, Gilbert used to go in at night and shoot every single night, and when the trampoline guys used to practice, he started messing around with them. So he bet somebody that I'll go do this. He's like, I'll go do it, and so obviously he'll jump in front of a car if you bet him to do it. Right. And so,
yeah, Shaq bet me $10,000 to do it because I was talking trash.
There we go. Thank you.
Shaq bet me $10,000.
All right.
That's the truth.
So I decided to.
Yeah, there's the truth.
There you go. Did you get the money?
No.
There you go. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. We can't follow that, so we're just going to sign off. Bye.